I'm going to talk to you about a desperate mom. Any moms here ever been desperate? When will they be quiet? When will they get out of this stage, you know? My poor wife, she was an only child growing up. I'll never forget one time she looked at me and she's crying. She goes, "Why do they fight so much?" I said, "Honey, I had a brother and I had sisters. This is normal." Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15 and stand with me for those that can stand. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. And I want to talk to you about a desperate mom's story this morning. And let me say it like this. We need some desperate moms that are desperate to get Jesus involved in their kids' lives. So look at Matthew 15. We're going to learn about such a mom and probably a very unlikely character, maybe that you may not think is a great example as a mom this morning. But somebody I think we could learn a lot from. Ladies, I hope this is especially a blessing to you that are moms. Matthew 15, look if you would, at verse number 10. And he called the multitude and said to them, "Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Look down at verse number 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." And I want you to understand the backdrop for our story is the Lord dealing with the Pharisees and having to get them to understand that, yep, you guys have everything right on the outside, but on the inside, you're dead. And the Lord, you know, I'll tell you this, the Lord eventually gets tired of dealing with Pharisees. You understand that? You know what he does? He leaves them alone for a little bit. And he goes to the land of the Gentiles. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." In the original Greek, that means she was a teenager. Verse 23, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came in beside him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread, and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." You know what I read there? I read a passage of Scripture, and I read that there was a desperate mom, and that desperate mom was able to get some help from Jesus Christ for her kids. This morning, moms, I want you to understand it's okay to be desperate as long as you're desperate for Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the time to open up this book. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for the singing so far. Thank you for the giving. Lord, the testimonies of these kids, Lord, and these young people, what a blessing. Lord, thank you for moms. Lord, without you, none of this life just doesn't make sense. There's no order. There's no structure. God, thank you for the place you have moms in our homes. And Lord, just thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, Lord, that they'd understand they could become saved. They could have their sins washed away and they could have a new start. They might be desperate because of sin. Lord, I pray you'd show them their need for a Savior. Lord, I pray for all the moms that are here this morning and all those that will be moms. Lord, I pray that you'd show them, Lord, have them learn something from another mom, a desperate mom. And Lord, how you helped her. We ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated if you will. You know, there's some opening comments here I'll make just by way of introduction. We read those verses prior to where the Lord is dealing with that woman of Canaan. You need to understand some things. You need to understand that Jesus Christ is a Jew. The Bible says that he was of the seed of David. And the Bible says there in Matthew chapter 15, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Five chapters earlier in Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sends his apostles out, he says, don't go into the way of the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The ministry of Jesus Christ when he came was first and foremost to deliver the promises of the Messiah to God's people. But after a while of dealing with the Pharisees and realizing that over and over and over they found fault with his messages, they didn't like his preaching. And over and over and over the Lord would bring them back to listen. It's not about the outside, it's about the inside. And what's on the inside eventually comes out. But after going through that and going through that and going through that, the Lord realizes, hey, they're not listening. I'm going to go find somebody that will. Let that be a lesson to you, Christian. You can spend so much time with somebody, and at a certain point, you need to go, you know what? They're not listening. I'm going to find somebody that will. And you know what the Lord tells those disciples? Think about it like this, guys. The Lord preaches that message. He's got his 3 points and his outline. He preaches and he gives that little poem at the end. And he goes, all heads bowed and all eyes closed, and let's have an altar call, and no Pharisees come forward. You say, why? Pharisees don't usually like to go to an altar. And so the Lord has this little thing, and the church service is out, and the disciples come and say, Lord, we need to talk to you. And everybody wants to be the pastor until they realize that means all the problems fall upward, right? And so Jesus, being the pastor, the disciples come to him, and they go, Jesus, we just want you to know, you offended some people today. And Jesus goes, no, really? I wasn't really trying to. Yeah, you were. I mean, he's telling them, listen, you guys have it all backwards. You have the thing inside out and outside in. You don't know if what's up. You don't know what's down. Your guys' problem is you are blind leaders of the blind. That's a pretty pointed way to end a message, don't you think? You know what he tells his disciples? Leave them alone. You know what he does? He goes into the way of the Gentiles. And he leaves the comforts of his own land, and he goes into this place called Tyre and Sidon. And as he approaches that coast, he wants to go into a certain person's house. You learn that from Mark chapter number 7. We're not going to read that right now. But what's interesting is, as the Lord approaches that place, he finds this woman who literally does follow him into this house, by the way. He learned that in Mark 7. And the Bible says that that woman comes to him, and boy, she is desperate. And you say, what is that whole thing all about? He's trying to teach his disciples something. And he's trying to help somebody who desperately needs him all at the same time. Aren't you glad for how the Lord can do that? He can kill two birds with one stone. His disciples need to learn something from this, and that is this. After a certain point, when you've said all you can say, sometimes you need to leave somebody alone and pray for them and move on. Yes. And so that's what the Lord does. And the Lord moves on, and he gets there. And don't let me ask you a question. Isn't he the creator of the universe? Doesn't he know what's coming before it happens? Doesn't he know this woman's going to be there? Don't you think he understood, I'm going to bring the Pharisees to this point. They're not going to listen. I'm going to go here, and this woman's going to fall at my feet, and I'm going to ignore her, and I'm going to sort of drag this thing out so my disciples learn something about how to get a hold of me when they need my help. Moms, can I say this morning? There are going to be times where it seems like you are doing everything you can, and it's like the Lord's not listening. Did you not notice in this passage? Look at verse number 24. Verse number 23. But he answered her not a word. You say, what is this? This is a desperate woman, and she's calling out to God for help, and the Lord doesn't respond right away. She's desperate for Jesus' attention. She's desperate for Jesus' healing in her kid's life. She's desperate for Jesus' touch of healing. She's desperate for Jesus' involvement. She's desperate for Jesus' influence in her home. Moms, are you desperate for that? A couple years ago, they made a show called Desperate Housewives. And basically the idea is, you know, the 1950s, June Cleaver type thing. Yeah, that's a big joke. Ha ha. Anyone that's a housewife, they're desperate. They just wish they could live a telenovela life. And let's make a big show all about that. Listen, we don't need desperate housewives, but we need some desperate mamas. We need some moms that are desperate for Jesus Christ to be in their kids' lives. I want you to notice in verse number 21, this woman, she's not a Jew. Now, it may not mean a whole lot to you, but you have to understand, back then, the Jews and the Gentiles, boy, they did not come together. And the Jews were God's chosen people. I believe they still are. Genesis chapter number 12. That all said, they're God's chosen people. And they disdained and they looked down on the Gentiles. And they go, you guys aren't us. We're God's chosen people. We don't mingle with that kind. So you know what the Lord does? He goes to that kind as a Jew. Moms, can I say this? Desperate moms don't always have the right pedigree. Some of you were raised in a Christian home. Hallelujah. Praise God. The best way to live life is to get saved when you're young and to get discipled when you're young and to live for Jesus Christ through your youth and then grow up living a pure life, get married to a godly person and raise a godly home. That's the best life. Amen. But not everybody has that life. And you might be here this morning and thinking to yourself, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Boy, I wish I could have stood up here and been taught about what mom means to the home. I wish I could be where those kids are at. You can't go back in time, but you can change going forward. And you might look at it and go, well, I just don't come from a Christian home. I don't have all the right things in life. I don't have a good husband. I don't have a Christian husband. I don't have this. I don't have that. Guys, can I say this? The Zidonians were not just the heathen. They were the heathen of the heathen. And what you find out is through your Bible that she was a Syrophoenician by nation. And she was from the land of Zidon. You say, who else was from there? Jezebel. Anybody want to name their daughter Jezebel? Anybody know who Jezebel is? Some of you are looking at me like, what's going on? All right, man, years ago I heard a song. Jezebel, 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 oh Jezebel. God's done got tired of your wicked ways. Angels in the heavens have numbered your days. You better cease from your wicked wiles. Gotta go to judgment, stand in trial. Gotta go to judgment, stand in trial. Gotta go to judgment, stand in trial. Gotta go. Don't ask me why or where I heard that. But it stuck in my mind. Jezebel was a wicked woman. Where was she from? The land of Zidon. You know where they get the god of Chemosh and Milcom and all that kind of stuff? Where they would offer their kids to the gods of fire and they literally would throw their children in the fire? The land of Zidon. That's where Jezebel was from. That's where the king of Tyrus was from, that the Lord addresses in Ezekiel 28. And he basically is a picture of the devil, of the Antichrist. This is not a good place. She is not from a great place, guys. She does not come from a good background. Desperate moms that get a hold of Jesus Christ don't always come from the best of backgrounds. You need to understand how wicked the land of Zidon was. King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians. 1 Kings chapter 11, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth. That's where you get Ishtar, Easter. All right, the goddess of the Zidonians. It's a fertility goddess. This is not a good place to be from. This is not the kind of person, young men, that you go, you know what? I'm going to pray for a good godly Christian woman, and I'm going to go find her in Zidon. It's not that kind of place. It's the opposite of that. And some of you might look at your life, mom. Some of you moms might look at your lives and go, I didn't come from the greatest background. Can I say this? It doesn't matter with God what's in your past. You may not come from the right pedigree. You may not come from the perfect Christian home. But you know what? You can change things now. Amen. Desperate moms don't always come from the right background. But can I say this? The Lord loves taking people who don't come from the right pedigree and turning them into exactly what He wants them to be. David goes from being a shepherd to being a king. Paul, who writes half your New Testament, he's a murderer. He goes from being a murderer to a preacher. Sometimes it feels like the same thing. Amen. If you could see your faces sometimes, I feel like I'm killing somebody. Mary goes from being a commoner to the mother of Jesus Christ. Lydia goes from being a seller of purple. It's like saying you got an eBay or an Etsy account, ladies. All right. To being a follower of Paul. The Syrophoenician woman, this woman's her background's probably not right, from being wicked to being blessed by Jesus Christ. Why? She saw that she had a need. Can I say this? If you're here this morning and you don't have a need, the Lord goes, you know what? You're fine by yourself. I'll leave you alone. You got all the bases covered. You know enough Bible. You've got all the sufficiency in you. You don't need me. I'll just keep moving and I'll find somebody that needs my help this morning. He'll just pass right by you, lady. But if you're willing to say, I need some help, I need some help. You know, as she cries out, Lord, help me. There's no great prayer there. It's just three words. What is that? That's a desperate need. Desperate moms don't always come from the right background. Listen, let me say this. The Lord passed by the Pharisees, and he went right by them, and they knew a bunch of Bible, and he said, I'll see you boys later. Leave them alone. And he goes on a ship voyage to the land of Tyre and Sidon, and he finds this woman who falls down at his feet begging for his help. And when she cries out to him, you know what he does? He acts like he doesn't hear her. You know what that caused in her? A little bit more desperation. Can I say this, mom? Sometimes you say, Lord, why aren't you answering this prayer? God, why don't you do this now? The Lord wants to see how badly do you want it. Lord, I want my kids to be raised right. Lord, help me to raise them right. Lord, I lived this way for 25, 30, 40, 50 years. But Lord, I want me to pray this prayer and you fix everything right now. It doesn't work that way. Understand that. The Lord was quiet at first. Desperate moms don't always come from the right background. Let me say this secondly. Desperate moms are willing to shed tears over their children. Look, if you would, at Matthew 15 and verse 22. The Bible says, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. You know what David says? David says, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not written in thy book? You know what that means? That means God pays attention to your tears. Here's the question this morning. Why are you crying? Who are you crying to? And who actually pays attention? The answer should be, I'm crying for the right reason. For God to be a part of my kid's life. Lord, I want them to be raised better than me. Isn't that what you parents want? Isn't that what you moms want this morning? Can I say this? Every once in a while, it's okay to shed a tear over your child. You know what they say? If you live in a graveyard, eventually you quit crying when someone dies. We're so jaded. Even ladies these days are just jaded hard. Every once in a while, it's okay to go, Lord, I don't know what to do. Can I suggest something to you? Before you type that out to 5,000 people that don't know who you are, spend some time talking to the one that made you. Godly mom, a desperate mom, is willing to shed tears over her child. Look at Genesis chapter number 21. Can I give you a situation that wasn't exactly ideal? You know, people, if anyone actually reads the Bible objectively, you know what they're going to understand? This book is different. It is unlike any other book. People see it as a religious book, you know, this real pious, high. It gets real plain and really down on our level. I mean, you learn about the dysfunctionality of the home in chapter number 3 of Genesis. You got 3. That's 3. I was doing this. 3. You got husband arguing with wife, and you know, Lord, it's the woman you gave me, and she's going, it wasn't me, it was the snake, you know, and so on and so forth. In chapter 4, you got the first pair of brothers. One of them kills his other brother. That is dysfunctional. Dysfunctional homes are not new. Here's one for you. You have an infertility issue, therefore you have a child with another woman that's not your wife. Hey, boys, that's a problem. You say, where does that happen? Abraham and Hagar. You know what eventually happens? The Lord tells Abraham, listen to your wife, Sarah, and send Hagar on. You know what Hagar has to do as a single mom? She's got to raise that kid on her own. And she's kicked out. And God was behind it, by the way. God wasn't behind what Hagar and Abraham did, but he was behind getting her out of that home. As long as she was there, there would be no peace between Isaac and Ishmael. Does that sound familiar? Hello, Middle East, 2018. Hello, you know. By the way, things that you do in your life will affect people for many generations. Keep that in mind. But here's a single mom out in the middle of nowhere. She's got this baby, and she's got nobody. Look at Genesis 21. Look at verse number 15. And the water was spent in the bottle. Can I say this? Eventually you come to the end of the water. You get that bottle, and boy, that's a picture of life and all your energy and all your ambitions and all that you know and all that you've relied on and all that you've trusted to get you so far and self-reliance and all that. And you get to a certain place where you go, it's not enough. And she looks at her son. One of the worst feelings as a parent is to look at your child and know, I can't fulfill that need. I would do anything for my kids. I would buy Legos against my wife's wishes. Boy, that's a hard thing to face as a mom, isn't it? To look at your child and know. Moms, you ever had those kids the first time they get the stomach bug? And they're two or three and they're sick and they can't really verbalize like they would and as an adult. And they're just lethargic. And you see that kid who's normally running around. You know, it's for us, we know that there's a problem when Emma is sitting like this. Instead of running around going, oh, Legos. Oh, will you play this with me? Would you do this puzzle with me? Oh, and we do that for 5 minutes. Would you play with this thing with me? And would you play the game called Wiggle Giggle with me? And then when she's sitting down and she's not moving, it's like, what's wrong with Emma? Remember the first time your kid's sick like that, moms? And you look at them and you just want to you wish you could take their sickness and put it on you. That's where Hagar's at. She's desperate. The Bible says here in verse number 15, she cast the child under one of the shrubs and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, look at this, and lift up her voice and wept. Moms, I'm going to say it like this. Sometimes the Lord allows you to come to the end of your rope as a mom, so you quit relying on yourself and you realize you're desperate and you need Jesus. And this mom had no resources. She had no money. There's no government to take care of her. There's no husband. There's nobody. And she's basically just thrown her kid over there and just said, you know what, God? Let him die. I just don't want to have to watch it. And she starts bawling and losing it and just pouring her heart to God. And I want you to notice what happens in verse 17. And God, some of the three best words you'll ever read. And God heard. Moms, aren't you glad for a God that hears? Moms, can I say this? It's okay. And sometimes I'm going to say it like this. It's necessary to shed a tear over your child. The Lord is going to challenge you, moms. And he's going to give you a kid that, boy, just sort of does things the way you want them to be done for the most part, doesn't give you a whole lot of trouble. And then there's another kid and you're like, whose kid are you? And then there's another kid that's a mix of them, and after a couple kids you're like, I don't know what to do with any of them because they're sort of, Lord, I need some help. Lord, they, you know, people say all the time, well, they come with the instruction manual of the King James Bible, and that sounds good. But the reality is, when you don't know what to do with your kid, yes, the Bible does have the answers, but it can still be very hard to figure out. I'm not taking anything away from this book. This is where the answers are at. But I'm telling you, when you are trying to figure out a teenage girl as a grown man, it ain't easy. Amen. Amen. That's right. He had four of them. And some of you moms, you have your kids and you're trying to figure out, what do I do with this? And I'm not understanding what's going on in their life. And Lord, how can I reach their heart? Not just how can I make them do what I want them to do, but how do I get them to see, Lord, from their heart what's right and what's going to help them? Not just now, but into eternity. God, how do I do that? And every once in a while, you'll get to a place of frustration where you just cry. That's not bad. I want you to notice that she was hopeless and she wept in verse 16 and God heard in verse 17. And in verse 18, look what the Lord says. Verse number 18, he says, lift him up. Lift him up. Lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand. In verse number 19, you know what God does? He opens her eyes. You say, what? What happens here? There was a well of water not too far from where she was at and she was about ready to die. Isn't that something, ladies? Not very far from where she was at, there was a well of water that could sustain her, that could help her. Ladies, you know what? Not very far from where you're at, there is a well of water that will sustain you, something you can drink from every day. You've got a Savior. You have the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm going to tell you, there are going to be times where you're so close to the truth and so close to what you need, and you don't even see it because you're wore out trying to figure out how to keep that kid alive spiritually. Moms, you know what you need? You need God to open your eyes. You know what your salvation was given to you? You know how your salvation was given to you? It was given to you because you recognized the need. There's not a saved person in here this morning that did not first understand. Step number one, realize you are a sinner. Right? So there's a need. He's not a sinner. I'm a sinner. How do I get reconciled with him? If there's a God who is holy and pure and he won't allow people like me into a place like that, how do I get in there? How do I go to a perfect and pure and holy place? God, who knows that if he allows sin in heaven, it'll become the mess that the world has become. But yet he says he's not willing that any should perish. Lord, how do I? You know what you say first? Lord, I've got a need. I'm not like you. I'm not sinless. I'm not perfect. I've been tempted. And I can't say I was tempted in all points like as you are, yet without sin. I have sinned. You know what that started with? You recognizing a need. Moms, can I say this morning? You need to recognize you have a need. You need to understand you don't have it in yourself to do everything God's asked you to do with the kids that God has given you. But you got a Savior that's much closer than you think, that wants to sustain you and wants to help you. If you walk around like the mom that has all the answers and, boy, I've read this book and I've read that book and, listen, I think you ought to read, I think you ought to study, I think you ought to pray, but I'll tell you this, if you ever get to the place where you've got all the answers, God's done with you. He is. You say, why? If you're a, where is it? Know-it-all, my candy bar from Wednesday night. If you're a know-it-all, you know what God says? I don't need you. You don't need me. You've got it covered. But when you recognize that there's a need, you know what you'll do sometimes? You'll cry. Any moms in here ever cry over their kids? Ever cry and say, Lord, I don't know what to do? Ever cry and say, Lord, I don't know how to reach their heart? God, I've made some mistakes, and I know I'm reaping some of these consequences, and how do I fix this? Lord, how do I get them to see that what they're doing isn't right? Lord, how do I get a hold of their heart? Lord, how do I get them to see that they're going to pay for this stuff for the next 20, 30, 40 years of their life? Lord, I don't know how to do this. The most common reason for crying, they did a survey, is sadness followed in rank by happiness, anger, sympathy, anxiety, and fear. You say, what is that? That sounds like motherhood to me. You take all those emotions. Do your kids make you happy, sisters, ladies? I'm going to get some amens. Let's do some amen time right now. All right, ladies? Do they ever make you happy? Amen. They ever make you sad? Amen. Ever make you angry? Amen. Whoa, that was the loudest. Woo, crescendo. Amen. That was a little grunt in there. They ever make you anxious? Amen. Ever make you a little fearful for how things are going to turn out? It's okay to cry. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Am I talking to some moms that maybe have some burdens? Are we weak and heavy laden, encumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. You do well to spend some time at the feet of Jesus crying over your children. Desperate moms are willing to shed a tear. Look back, if you would, at Matthew chapter number 15. Let me say this. A desperate mom ignores her own image for the sake of her kids. Let me help you out, ladies, if you're, and dads for that matter. If you are more concerned with how does this make me look versus how do I help my child, you're on the wrong side of things. It is not about how the kid makes you look. Even if they are disobedient, even if they're wrong, it's not, you're making me look bad. You better stop that. It's not about that. It's, are you pleasing Jesus Christ right now? Are things going as the Lord would have our home to go? If not, I'm not going to get on to you because you're making me look bad. That sends the wrong message to the kid. You know what this mom did? She made a fool of herself. Look at verse number 22. Bible says, she calls out, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. It'd be like if we came here on Wednesday night and we're taking up requests and testimonies and someone goes, Pastor, if you would, pray for my kid. I think they're devil-possessed. And be sort of like that awkward moment like, all right, moving on. Anybody have a testimony? You know what she does? Out in the open, she gets down there and she calls out to Jesus. And I'm sure it wasn't like this. Lord, have mercy on me. We when you read the Bible sometimes, do you ever read it like Hollywood style? Like, she's probably bawling. Her makeup's probably running all over the place. Got snot running down her face, been running for a while because she heard this man named Jesus is coming into town, and she tripped over, probably skinned her knee, and she probably just looks like a mess. She probably, if she came in this morning and was looking the way that mom looked, a lot of you moms look and go, she doesn't have her stuff together. Hey, by the way, none of us do. And she comes in and she's sort of bawling, her makeup's going everywhere and snot's running down her face, and everybody's sort of just like ignoring her, trying to act like she's not there. And she jumps down in front of Jesus Christ and grabs a hold of his feet and starts crying out, have mercy on me, O Son of David. That's probably how that thing went. You know what her disciples do? Sort of like the ushers of the church. They're like, okay, let's just bring you over here. Let's put you in a quiet place where you're not disrupting the church. Okay, all right, would you just shut up, lady, and leave Jesus alone? She comes back and starts crying out even louder. And then the Lord doesn't even talk to her. And then when he does talk to her, he goes, I'm not here for you, lady. Am I adding to Scripture or am I telling you the truth? I'm not sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he tells her. And her response, boy, her response. She says there in verse number 25, the Bible says, after he tells her that, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She has lost all sense of self-dignity. She doesn't walk in, yes, Jesus, I'd like to have a word with you. By the way, anytime a woman talks to me that way, I know, great. I'm sure I said something in my message that she doesn't. Pastor, I need to talk to you. When they do the finger like this, I'm always like, I'll see you later, sister. She didn't come in like that. You know how she came in? A mess. And she's getting ignored, and she, you know what she does? He starts walking away, and she gets up, and she dusts herself off, and she runs after him, and she worships him. And she says, Lord, you're worthy. God, I know you're the only one that can fix my problem. I've tried medicine. I've tried psychology. I've tried the counselors. I've tried everything. But Jesus, you got to help me. No self-dignity. God will stop everything he's doing every time for someone like that. You come to him with your nose up in the air. Lord, I think, we got a problem. It's my kid. Problem's you. Sometimes the issue is not the kid. It's the mom and dad. And if you don't approach this thing with humility, listen, oftentimes we blame. It would be one thing for her to walk in and go, that stupid kid. I told him not to run around. I told him not to run with that crowd. I told her not to get into that stuff. I told her this. She never said any of that stuff. She just said, help. Desperate mom ignores her own image for the sake of her kids. We've got social media today. I saw this yesterday. We're driving through, and my dad was gracious enough to take my wife out for dinner last night. And afterwards, we had to exchange something at a store, and we're driving away, and I saw this little kid in front of the little umbrella things at Southlands Mall. Anybody know what I'm talking about? With water coming down, and the lights were pointed up. Great picture spot. So the mom's over here going like this. No, like this. And the kid's going. And the kid just about starts crying because mom's got to get the perfect picture. Hey, mom, here's an idea. Let the kid run in the rain. Let the kid enjoy the moment. You know what, parents? I just got to get this picture. It's so perfect. Anymore, people are so consumed with self-image. How do I look? How do my kids make me look? It's not about that. Parents, can I say it's not about that? Moms, it's not about that. I want you to notice in verse 26 what Jesus calls her. He calls her a dog. Now, ladies. Say you come to church and you want some help. And you go, Pastor, I could use your help with something. Can I see you after church? Just keep the finger down. Just don't do this, okay? And I go, sure. After church, I come to you and you go, hey, this is my problem. I go, well, look, here's the deal. You're a dog. I don't think you're going to be like, you're right. I'm a dog, but whatever you give me, I'll take it. Right. I would never say that. I'm not saying I would. But the point is this, he did. Can you imagine that? after the disciples shun you away, after you fall at his feet and he ignores you, and finally you start worshiping him, and he says, look, I'm not sent to you. And then he goes on to say, you're a dog. I mean, would any of you ladies still stick around for Jesus' help after that? This Hollywood Jesus you have in your mind ain't the Jesus of the Bible. Sometimes God will say some things to provoke you and to see how desperately you need his help. I sort of like this height right here. I can see everybody great. I can see you back there. Hey, Brother Leonard, it's good to see you, man. Amen. People are back there. That's good. You know what the Lord does sometimes? He will say things just to see what your reaction is. It's not because he's going, oh, I wonder how this is going to turn out. It's so you can hear for yourself how desperately you need him. Can you imagine coming to church and as a mom, you're just tore up about your kids, and after the end of the message, you come down, you're blubbering, you're crying at an altar, and you walk back to your pew and your kid goes, Mom, you embarrassed me. In front of all those people, why'd you go down there? Why'd you act like that? Why are you crying? Why are you making such a show of things? If that kid could have seen the mom when that kid was in his right mind, he probably would be like, Mom, what are you doing falling at this guy's feet? He's ignoring you. He's offending you. Leave him alone. And you know what? She made a spectacle of herself. You know what David did? He danced before the Lord when they brought the ark back. And there were some people that were offended by him making a spectacle of himself for God. Moms, can I say this? You need to care less about what they say about you on Facebook and get your face in this book and see what God says about you. Amen. You need to care less about what people think of you and what really is going to help your child. God has a problem with self-image. You say, why? The first time image shows up in the Bible, it's for God. But eventually, after the positive references about God, in Exodus chapter number 20, you know what God says? Don't make any graven image. You can do that with yourself, just like you can do with the physical idol. Moms, you know what you need to care about more than anything else? What's best for this kid? Even if it embarrasses the kid. Even if it makes me look dumb. Even if it makes me look like I don't have everything together. Why? It's not about my image. It's about my child and how Jesus needs to be in his or her life. Desperate moms won't quit on getting Jesus involved. You read about that from verses 22 all the way through verse number 27. It's like this woman, it's almost like the Terminator mama. Every time you think they got rid of her, she comes back. Yes. Right? That's right. You know, it's almost like, okay, we got rid of her. You know, the disciples, the ushers did their job. She comes back. Jesus ignores her. She comes back. She starts worshiping him. He says, you're a dog. She's still there. Okay, give me the crumbs then. I'll take what you give me. Right. She won't stop. We need some moms like that who won't stop for their kids getting Jesus Christ. You know, it blows my mind. People come to church, they get saved, they get into church, and man, there's some problems, and life is filled with problems. And when the problems come, it's like, okay, that's it, done. Hey, you should be as stubborn as you are for sin and the world for Jesus Christ. As stubborn as you were for years, the preacher can tell you nothing, your parents can tell you nothing, your husband can tell you nothing, and all of a sudden, you get right with God, come to church, and about 6 months later, a year later, whatever, down the road, something happens in your life, and you're like, that's it, we're done. Man, do you not realize what that does to your kids? Do you understand the pain and the anguish and the travail that can cause for years down the road? A desperate mom won't quit on getting Jesus involved. Right. We need some moms like that. Why do you suppose the Lord pushes her in verse number 27 to make the profession that she does? She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Number one, she needed to hear it. Number two, those disciples needed to see some great faith. You know what I'm amazed by sometimes? People that get to know the Lord and after a while they sort of forget that they actually have a need. And every once in a while the Lord brings some people whose lives are just a mess. And the Lord goes, you have a need just as badly as they do. Yours is less obvious, but it is there. Those disciples are sort of like, you know, hey, good thing we're getting rid of this lady. Oh, she came back. Oh, let's get rid of her again. Oh, she comes back. She won't stop. And the Lord's going, you boys need to listen to what she just said. I haven't found that kind of faith in all of Israel, he says about that woman. Never, ever, ever, ever quit, Christian mothers. We need you. Your kids need you. There's a story in Luke chapter 18 about an unjust judge. And it talks about this widow woman who just comes over and over and over. Have you ever had somebody like that in your life? They just won't leave you alone. And you're thinking, I mean, there have been times where, you know, I was talking to a preacher and he says, you know, brother, there's been times where you think, you know, you preach something out of your church and it keeps finding its way back and it keeps finding its way back. And you know what? That's like our lives. There are times where you just think, you know what? That last comment I said to that person, they're going to leave me alone. And there they are. That's how that woman was. And this unjust judge actually grants this widow woman in Luke 18 exactly what she's asking for. Why? He's like, look, if I give you what you want, will you leave me alone? Moms, you have kids like that? Your kids ever come to you and go, Mama, 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 Mama? You ever almost sort of like get tone deaf to it? And you're like in a song, you're like, Mama, 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 Mama. It's like the dryer sort of going over and over. And after a while, you forget there's a little human being that's actually trying to get your attention, right? Because you've toned it out. I'll never forget years ago, we had a friend of ours, me and my wife, we had some friends from Bible school, and their son at the time, boy, that was him. His mom could be having a conversation with us, and he'd come up and he'd start tugging and pulling and Mama and Mama, and she'd be in the middle of a conversation, and she wouldn't stop. And we're like, hey, sister, I think, oh, what is it? I'm like, he's been there for 10 minutes. Moms, you know what I'm talking about. You know how you need to be with Jesus? The same way. Jesus, 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 Lord, Lord, God, God, I need you, Lord, I need you, they need you, help me, Lord, help me. Amen. A desperate mom knows who really needs the help. Look at verse 25, can I say this? She didn't just say, help my kid. Notice that. The Lord allowed this thing to happen so that she could see it wasn't just the kid that needed deliverance. It was mommy as well. Lord, help me. You know, I like when I get around people who think they have to pontificate. You know, it's time to pray over a meal, and 10 minutes later, they're still, you know, praying. And I look at them going, hey, man, you should have done this morning. This ain't the time to do it. It's time to eat right now. Get done with this prayer. Amen. You ever met people like that? It's like, hey, man, look, this is the morning devotion prayer time. You got this thing backwards. We're supposed to be praying over lunch. It's like, Lord, thank you for the food. You bless us with it. Thank you, hallelujah. What a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We eat. You start praying about your neighbor and pray for the preacher. And that's not the right time for that. Listen, some prayers need to be short. They don't all have to be long. I know people get saved, they come into church and they go, I don't really know how to pray. Start with this. Lord, help me. Amen. That's a good place to start. When Peter was sinking, he didn't go, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, thou hast graciously bestowed upon us these thy blessings, which are manifold before our very eyes and manifest for all to see. He's got enough time to go, oh, Lord, save me. Three words. You know a great prayer for you to get used to as a mom? Lord, help me. You ever been there, Mama? Sometimes you're praying, God, help me not to kill this kid. But understand, the mother here understood it wasn't just the kid that needed the help. You know what they say when you're on a plane? I've been on enough planes, you know, between my dad's military career and missionary work and just flying to different places for work and for ministry things and things like that. You get on the plane, and you know what happens after a while? You get tone deaf to the instructions, am I right? Welcome, you are on a Southwest 57, blah, 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 blah. You're on a Boeing 737, and right in front of you, in your seat pocket in front of you, there's a manual that tells you, in the event of an emergency landing, this will be the instructions for what to do. Now, if the air gets turbulent at a certain time, you need to understand the first thing you must do is pull down the oxygen mask, put it on your face, and pull on the straps on the side. You must first put on your oxygen before helping those around you. Parents with little ones, don't they say this? make sure your oxygen is flowing first. And then that goes against what you even think is natural. Naturally, you go, boom. I mean, the air things are down. And all of a sudden, you want to, depending on which kid it is, help them out, right? And then, you know, but you know what they tell you? Put yours on first and let the flow come. Why? Because if you don't have oxygen, you won't be able to help them either. Lord, help me. Can I say this, moms? Oftentimes, kids are a reflection of you. And what you're frustrated with is sometimes partly you. And instead of just into the kid, why are you doing this? What? Stop and go, Lord, would you help me? A desperate mom knows who really needs the help. Let me say this, a desperate mom is willing to go to Jesus by herself. The disciples rejected her, the Lord rejected her. And here's a question, where's the dad? You ever thought about that? You know what I pray? I pray that if you're here today and you're here with your wife and you're the father of some of the children that are here, that you stand by your wife and you be a godly example and you raise your kids right. But can I say this, moms? In certain cases, you might be on your own. Not easy, but you can do it. You can do it. You know, she was willing to go to Jesus by herself. Let me say this, even if you're married with a good godly husband, ladies, and you're a mom, there are some places that even your husband cannot help you with. That's why you have a Savior. That's why you have the Holy Spirit of God. She was willing to go. I hear mom says, I just feel so alone. Hey, she doesn't have her husband. The disciples, the Christians in the church weren't willing to help her. Jesus wasn't listening. She's literally all by herself. And she was willing to go by herself to get her kid the help that he needed. Look at verse number 28. Aren't you glad for happy endings? Amen. Can I say this? Happy endings don't always happen the way we expect them to, at least not on this earth. But moms, if you're saved and your kids get saved, on the other side is a happy ending. Amen? But can I point something out to you? In verse number 28, desperate moms get a double blessing from the Lord. You say, what is that? Look at verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Wouldn't you love to hear Jesus give you a compliment, mom? Great is your faith. He didn't say that to the Pharisees. Can I say this? You know what he said to his own disciples? O ye of... The guys that walked around with them all the time. And here's this strange woman, this Gentile who's a mess, and her life's not together, and her kid's full of the devil, literally. And the Lord says, great is your faith. That's a compliment, ladies, that you want to run with. If you never get it from a man on this earth, you never get it from anywhere else, you don't get it on social media, you don't get it from your friends at work, you get it from nobody, but you get it from Jesus Christ, you've got something. Amen. He says, great is thy faith. And on top of that, hey, your daughter's healed. The Bible says in Mark 7, when she arrived, I bet you she ran. And I bet you she was telling everybody, Jesus healed my daughter, come with me. Jesus healed my daughter, come see. And she's running, and of course, half the town's going, there's that weirdo. Now she's a Jesus freak. She's running through the town. She gets there, and she busts that door open. I'm sure it wasn't just like, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, good to be home. Oh, it's wonderful that the devil is out of you now, daughter. I'm sure she ran there. She busted that door open. And she fell on her knees. Honey! Honey! She sits up in the bed and goes, hey, Mama. I love you, Mama. Thank you for praying for me, Mama. God did this, Mama. Mama, thanks for not giving up on me. Mama, thanks for getting a hold of Jesus for me. That's a happy ending. Are you desperate enough for mom's help, for God's help, mom? I'll never forget, I'll close with this. There's a lady in this church whose mom came here, for that matter. Think of Brother Mark. His mom is in glory now. His mom came and shook my hand and said, thank you for preaching the truth. I prayed for Mark for years. Found his way to the Lord. Another dear saint came up to me and said, "Preacher, thanks for preaching. Thank you. Your church family's a blessing. I prayed for my daughter for years. And I thought there was no chance she would ever get back to church. I thought there was no chance she would ever find the Lord in her life again. And here she is." See, what is that? A desperate mom getting a hold of her Savior for her child. Moms, we need some desperate moms this morning for Jesus. Let's all stand. Let's all stand.